The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. Today, we'll attempt to sort out the good information from the bad and set the record straight on your good health. Healthcare and wellness issues can be so confusing these days, with information constantly changing. Let us help you learn what you need to know. Now, here is your host, Dr. Neil Nathan.
Welcome, welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, from Gordon Medical Associates. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Research Nutritionals, BioResource, and Frequency Specific Microcurrent for making this program possible. Since I personally use these products daily in my practice, as our program unfolds, I'll be mentioning some of those when appropriate. So we are live, so if you have questions for us, please call 1-866-472-5792 during the program, and we'll be happy to take your calls. I'd like to remind you that you can download the Voice America mobile app, and you can find us on iTunes, Google Play Time, and Kindle, all for free. If you're into social media, please like us and share us. And we now have our own Facebook page, so please go to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today and like us and share us. And you can ask me questions on that site as well. If you'd like to have a consultation with me after the program at any point, please see my website at www.neilnathanmd.com, and we'll be happy to facilitate that. And now, without further ado, I would like to introduce today's guest. I am very honored and delighted to have with us Dr. William Walsh. He is the president of the nonprofit Walsh Research Institute near Chicago, Illinois, and he directs physician training programs internationally, including the United States, Australia, and Norway. During his more than 30 years as a research scientist and engineer, Dr. Walsh developed a science-based nutrient system that has helped thousands of patients challenged by behavioral disorders, depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, ADHD, autism, and Alzheimer's disease, and is used by doctors throughout the world. His approach recognizes nutrient imbalances, which can alter brain levels of key neurotransmitters, disrupt gene expression of proteins and enzymes, and can cripple the body's protection against environmental toxins. His book, Nutrient Power, which I consider to be groundbreaking, describes his findings and the advanced nutrient therapies which correct these biochemical imbalances. He has authored more than 200 scientific articles and reports. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Dr. William Walsh to our program.
Well, hi, Neil. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. And your work has built on the work of Dr. Carl Pfeiffer, who was a pioneer in this particular area. And I know that you worked with him for quite some period of time. So what you have is a vast amount of experience in measuring a lot of biochemical imbalances in patients with the kinds of disorders that I've mentioned. And so please, if we could begin by talking about what you have learned over your very vast experience here and what kinds of hope and information can we bring to our listeners that they can take their healing into new areas?
Well, one thing I've had the advantage of is from the beginning, I've always been a numbers person, and I have enormous databases of laboratory results for blood and urine for all of these conditions. I think I have the world's biggest database for autism, for behavior disorders, schizophrenia and depression. And we've learned a lot from that, especially working with roughly 20,000 patients with these disorders. And there's quite a bit of good news. For one thing, there are more than 300 important biochemicals and you know, including all the nutrients in the human body. But fortunately, what we've learned is that when it comes to mental health, when it comes to brain function, neurotransmission and receptors and all on the molecular biology of the brain, there are really only about 5 or 6 or 7 of these factors that dominate. And this is really good news because it would be terrible if we had to do lab testing for 100 different factors. And it would be awful if we had to develop treatment programs involving hundreds or certainly dozens of nutrients. So we really are able to help most people by focusing on maybe 6 of these. And these include, to start with, metal metabolism disorders, specifically copper and zinc in particular, although some of the other trace minerals are important. Copper has a lot to do with the levels of dopamine and norepinephrine that a person has in their brain. And if you've got a copper imbalance, for example, a copper elevation, you're going to have low levels of dopamine, which will affect your ability to function academically or at a job. And you'll be very elevated norepinephrine, which would make you would have a great tendency for anxiety and sleep disorders. So there's metal metabolism. Then there's this thing called pyral disorder. We find that there's a high incidence of pyral disorder in virtually every one of these mental conditions. And it's really a condition of oxidative stress, dramatic oxidative stress. And it involves a double deficiency of zinc and B6. Those are two more of the nutrient factors that are just dominant and important in mental health. Then we have methylation. A person can be over-methylated or under-methylated. Most people focus on under-methylation, and that's roughly 22% of the population. And about 8% of the population are over-methylated. But if a person's under-methylated, they tend to have low serotonin depression. They tend to be obsessive-compulsive, and they have a whole set of behaviors that are typical of them, traits and behaviors. But if they run into trouble and become, say, they develop depression, we now know how to correct that with nutrient therapy that can do really the same sort of thing that the drug medications can do. And so there are a handful of these nutrient factors. We can do a pretty good lab screening for only $300 or $400 or $500, which is really, I think, a bargain. And in order to get all the information we need to evaluate most patients and to give them and to develop a proper treatment program for them. And the other good news recently, in the last 5 years, we now can do something we've never been able to do before with nutrients. And that is because of the new field of epigenetics. We are now able for the first time to be able to adjust enzyme levels, which can dominate brain function. For example, a person with depression, we now know that methionine and SAMe, which are two over-the-counter nutrients, act as serotonin reuptake inhibitors and can really do the same job as Prozac or Paxil, although by a different mechanism. So that sort of summarizes where we are. It's very exciting because I think our capabilities have dramatically improved in the last 5 years. And I wrote a book on this, as you mentioned, and the title of my book is Nutrient Power. And the reason I chose that name is that's the message I want people to realize. I want them to realize that that even though you might have a serious condition like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, that nutrients do have power, and they can be just as effective for some people as drug medications.
Right, and I'd like to take that a step further, which is that for some reason, which I don't completely understand, the psychiatric profession has focused on medication as its primary way of dealing with many of these problems. And part of the problem I have with that is that these medications can work. They can be valuable. But if someone has a biochemical imbalance and we're not addressing that and we're simply giving a medication, which, if you will, might be a metaphorical Band-Aid, we're actually missing the opportunity to cure them or to get their chemistry right. So the approach that you are recommending is definitely one that I'm hoping that our listeners will learn more about today and learn that they can get your book, Nutrient Power, and read more. And some of the things that you recommend are really simple and straightforward.
Yes, and fortunately also based on science. And the brain science has been developed and has advanced really greatly in the last 20 years. And I have to say some of the best research and some of the best insights have come from pharmaceutical research, people trying to develop drugs. The only problem with that is that they have the wrong goal. Their goal is to develop the next billion-dollar drug. But in the course of their research, they found ways in which nutrients can be very effective at making the changes you want to make in a person's brain. The only problem is they can't patent that and make money on it. So they don't go in that direction. The problem with psychiatric medications is that you'll never be able to normalize the brain if you put very powerful foreign molecules to the brain. And that's what Prozac and Paxil and all of these other medications are. Our goal is to normalize the brain, to correct imbalances and have the person to be able to function and to be truly themselves.
Right. To take that just a step further, one of my experiences and one of the things that I've learned over the years is that when you take these medications, one of the things that they do is they send a message to the body, which is, let's say you're treating depression and you're taking an SSRI-type medication. The message is, hey, you've got all the serotonin on board you need. You can stop making it. And I think over time, that has a deleterious effect on the body. And we see that clinically. We see that the medications begin to get less and less effective. You have to keep changing the doses. You have to keep changing the medication around. So I'm not sure that this is what you're referring to, but it is in my experience that working on it from a more basic scientific biochemical approach is, to me, makes much more sense.
And one of the biggest problems with psychiatric meds are side effects. And, of course, the side effects can be quite awful and can prevent a person from continuing. And if you have these foreign molecules in your brain, I think there will always be side effects from psychiatric drugs, always. And they will make changes that you don't really want to have happen. But now, fortunately, in many cases, we can just normalize the brain without having to resort to drugs.
Well, we know that there is a huge percentage of the population that is depressed. And so this certainly ought to be a subject of great interest to almost everyone out there. There can't be a person out there who doesn't have a loved one or a friend or family member or themselves be affected by it. So if we took depression, for example, as an example, where would we start looking? What would you be measuring? What would you be looking at? What would you be looking for? How do we begin this process?
Okay. First of all, according to the National Institutes of Health, roughly 15% of all Americans have some level of clinical depression. That's a huge number of people. We have a very large database for depression. And I gave a paper at the American Psychiatric Association annual meeting in New York about 18 months ago. And basically, what I did is I wanted them to know that they're treating depression all wrong. And there's a misconception in mainstream medicine, the mainstream psychiatry, that depression is a single disorder and that it almost always revolves around an inadequate amount of serotonin activity in our brains. But what I've learned is that actually depression is a name given to at least five completely different disorders, each one with different neurotransmission abnormalities, and each one needing a different kind of treatment. And so, and the way we can identify this is with rather inexpensive lab tests. For example, the most common form of depression is 38% of all people with depression in my huge database have what I call undermethylated depression. They have they're undermethylated, methyl being a biochemical factor that's really important. And these people do have low serotonin activity, and they're the people who tend to do the best if they take Prozac or Paxil.
Yes, let's
then
come
there's
back,
another group who have...
Dr. Walsh, let's come back to that in just a minute.
Okay.
I want to take off from there, but first I need to mention one of our wonderful sponsors here for our listening audience. I'd like to mention the company Researched Nutritionals. They are very well known for their specialty immune, energy, and detox formulations. They do a great deal of research on putting these formulations together. And for this particular broadcast, I'd like to mention one of their products, which is called CogniCare, CogniCare, which is a combination of acetyl L-carnitine, phosphatidylserine, huperzine A, L-glutamine, and L-tyrosine, with a bit of vinpocetine as well. These are all very well documented natural materials that help the brain work better. So to all of you, I would recommend that you look into this. Go to researchednutritionals.com for more information, or you can call them at 800-755-3402. And with that, we'll go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Ouch! What do you think of when you think of dental procedures? Well, when you think about it, the teeth and the rest of the body are strongly connected. What happens in one part affects the other. In the Tooth-Body Connection with host Dr. Dawn Ewing, we'll explain more about these concepts, as well as discuss the role that your teeth play in your overall health. You'll learn about amalgams and how removing them the wrong way can be toxic to your body. Tune in Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Follow us on Twitter at Voice America TRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's Voice America TRN.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to the Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I'm honored to be able to have as our guest today Dr. William Walsh, who has written the book Nutrient Power, and he's begun the discussion of helping us to understand simple things, not that expensive, that we can measure to help us understand the biochemical underpinning of mental illnesses and a variety of other medical conditions. So, Dr. Walsh, when we went to a break, you'd begun to talk about methylation as particularly important in depression, and so why don't we continue that?
Okay, I was talking about undermethylation, which is the largest phenotype or biochemical type or class of depression. And however, there are roughly 20% of all people who develop depression have the opposite condition, which is overmethylation. Now, these people actually have too much serotonin activity to begin with. And what's really tragic is most doctors, most psychiatrists throughout the world, if they diagnose depression, they will start giving these people SSRI, serotonin-enhancing medications, like Prozac and Paxil and Zoloft, et cetera, et cetera. And the problem is it makes these people terribly worse. And so these people are totally intolerant to the basic medications that are given for depression by most doctors. And I was at the, as I mentioned, the American Psychiatric Association meeting 18 months ago, and I explained to them and I urged them to do simple blood tests. It only costs about $80 to do a blood test to determine and identify the people who must not get an SSRI antidepressant. Those particular people would do better if they got a medication in the family of benzodiazepines, but they'd do even better if they didn't do either one of those and simply did a nutrient therapy that would adjust these neurotransmission abnormalities without having to resort to drugs. Now, just today, I talked to two wonderful young women who have serious cases of postpartum depression. That's the third type of depression. I mentioned that there were five of them. Well, this is another large number of people. This is about 18%, which is quite, it's millions of people in the U.S., people with postnatal or postpartum depression. And a lot of these cases are women who were okay and maybe loved children and wanted a baby, but right after the baby's born, they might have had either the baby blues or, in many cases, severe depression, and in a few cases, postpartum psychosis. These people basically suffer from a metal metabolism disorder. It's a copper overload condition. Copper is a key factor in the transition between dopamine and norepinephrine. So these people, during a typical pregnancy, a woman's copper level more than doubles. And the reason is that little growing fetus needs copper for something called angiogenesis, which enables growth. That little tiny baby is really growing rapidly in the womb. But once the baby's born, within 24 hours, that copper level is supposed to be coming down. And some women just don't have that capability. And they develop postpartum depression that could last a lifetime. So these poor women, I just got their lab results today, and the good news is they both have extraordinarily high copper levels. And they're going to get better. I would say 90% likely, based on reports from the roughly 1,000 cases of postpartum depression we've worked with, I would say they're 90% likely to be just fine in about 3 or 4 months. And all we have to do is a therapy. For example, zinc and other nutrients can bring the copper level down to normal. There's another form of depression called pyral depression. These are people who have a very classic set of traits, and they also, if you give them antidepressants, they might get it. This group might get a little bit better, but not much. The postpartum people, nothing happens if you give them SSRIs. And I've had dozens and dozens of women say they've had every one of these antidepressants, and none of them worked. They also didn't harm them, but they didn't help. And then the fifth group are people who have what we call toxic metal depression. A person can become depressed just alone from, say, a lead overdose or from too much mercury in their body. It's only about 1 out of 20 depressives, but if that's you, it's everything. So there are 5 different kinds of depression, and unfortunately, psychiatry is now throwing a single treatment at all of them. And this treatment works really nicely, probably for maybe as many as 45 or 50%. It at least gets some benefit. But again, these over-methylated people get worse. And I think that's the cause of school shootings in the United States. We've had more than 50 school shootings in the past 20 years. And myself and several others have evaluated these cases. And what happens in these cases is these are usually males, little young men, who were doing quite well in life and didn't have behavior problems until they developed anxiety and depression in their teen years. And they went to a doctor and they were given an SSRI antidepressant. And in this case, it made them dramatically worse. And anybody who buys or goes to a pharmacy and gets these medications, there's an insert that warns that it can cause homicidal ideation or suicidal ideation. And anyway, out of these 50 cases of school shootings in the last 20 years, roughly, what is it, like 42 of them involved SSRI medications. And I think that that's it. I think if we want to get rid of school shootings, these horrible episodes like we had in Connecticut, I don't think we're going to do it by getting rid of the guns. There's 300 million guns in the United States, and even if we wanted to or agreed to do it, it would take forever. It's not going to help to... We can't quickly solve the problem by finding out who shouldn't have a gun and not letting certain people have guns. I think this is really the number one way to do it. Take these young males who are developing troubles and do some inexpensive lab work and find out who should not get an SSRI. And by the way, it was pretty well received. I've been to the APA before, four times now, and I don't think anybody really listened to me the first three times, but this particular talk, people were very interested, and quite a few of the psychiatrists came up to talk to me afterwards and actually enrolled in our training program.
Oh, excellent. That's good news. So the things we're talking about measuring are relatively inexpensive. I do have had the experience of having measured these various things throughout my career, so I think I'm kind of up on it. So it really wouldn't cost a lot if we took young people who are seriously depressed, depression being a horrific illness in itself, and the amount of money that would be spent on doing these tests would repay itself many times over in giving them safe, natural ways of approaching their illness.
You're absolutely right, and we know that we are saving insurance companies enormous amounts of money. We had just one doctor that we trained in Australia who wrote a paper a few years ago, and what he did is he tracked the schizophrenics he was working with, and he compared the ones who took the treatment and those who decided not to. And he published a paper showing that he alone in his single practice saved the government more than $1 million in less cost for their care, reduced much fewer hospitalizations, a lot less drug expense, a lot fewer connections with doctors. Actually, insurance companies are natural allies of our natural therapies. They just don't know it yet. But when they find out, and I hope they find out soon, I think they would really be a powerful ally. And of course, pharmaceutical drug manufacturers are probably natural enemies because as natural therapies get more and more popular, it's going to cost them revenues.
Well, but usually they're quite adept at taking nutritional materials, putting them together in a unique formulation, and making them a prescription. And so if we could convince them to do that, then everyone would be happy.
Yes, and actually I've done this with doctors, working with the doctors I work with about 30,000 times for different patients, and that's exactly what you do. You find out what a person's overloads and deficiencies are. And by the way, nutrient overloads usually cause more mischief than deficiencies. So we develop a prescription, really, of nutrients aimed at normalizing the brain and normalizing blood levels. And most of the patients report they do beautifully well.
So let's begin to talk. We'll take a break in a few minutes, but let's begin to talk about more specifics. So from my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, we want these patients to measure their plasma, zinc, and copper levels. And that can be done, by the way, for those of you out there, the LabCorp, that is even covered by insurance most of the time. So it is something that you might not even have to pay out of pocket for.
And it really should be plasma zinc. A lot of the labs will want to do serum zinc, but plasma zinc is much more accurate and reliable. And then we use serum copper and serum ceruloplasmin. That's a ceruloplasmin is a protein that helps manage and send the copper to the tissues where it's needed. It's sort of a copper chaperone. And so we like to look at both of those at the same time. And then urine pyrroles is a classic test that is very helpful. And then we need to have a marker for methylation. And there's two really good markers. The one we use the most is whole blood histamine. And then there's another, a newer test called the SAMI, S-A-H ratio, which measures the ratio between acetylmethionine, which is the methyl donor in the body, and then the SAH, which is the product of it. And that ratio is a very good marker. And some people try to use 23andMe genetic tests and look for 677T and other important mutations or SNP mutations. But that's not as reliable. That can give you a general idea of if a person is likely to be undermethylated, but it's not solidly certain. And it's kind of a complicated issue, but I'd be happy to explain that if you would like.
Well, who does the SAMI SAH ratio?
That was developed originally by Doctors Data in St. Charles, Illinois, and I think they still are the leading people there. It's a test that has not become tremendously popular because you have to treat the blood sample as soon as it's taken. And so they cannot accept a sample from, say, a LabCorp or a Quest draw center. It has to be someone like a doctor or a clinic that has their own phlebotomy who can draw the blood and centrifuge it down and maybe add a few chemicals to it before freezing it and sending it off to the lab.
And what numbers, when you see the SAH ratios, what kind of numbers are you looking at to guide you? What do they mean? This is something that I'm trying to learn more about from you today.
Well, if that ratio is normal, that means the person has normal methylation. And about 30% of the population, 70% of the population has normal methylation. But if a person has low SAMI and too much SAH, that's a marker that says this person is undermethylated. And if a person is undermethylated, that can cause dramatic problems, not just with mental illness, but also physical health. But then there's the people who are overmethylated, and they have it's an opposite problem, but it can be just as serious. For example, most people who have anxiety disorders and most people who have panic disorders, and the largest group of people who become schizophrenic are overmethylated. They're overmethylated, and you don't dare give them treatment that is good for methylation.
Right, and I think that's where we would want to start when we come back from a break. But first, I'd like to mention yet another of our fine sponsors. I want to talk just for a moment about frequency-specific microcurrent. Frequency-specific microcurrent is a wonderful, very safe use of two different frequencies, which can be used to help in a wide, wide, wide variety of medical problems. In the context of what we're talking about today, we can use frequency-specific microcurrent to make shifts in the various neurotransmitter amounts. We can shift dopamine and serotonin and epinephrine and norepinephrine, and we can help with the organs that make that. So to learn more about that, please go to frequencyspecific.com for more information. And with that, let's go to another break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Can grief be good for you? Absolutely. It gets your attention, helping you evaluate your choices and relationships. Your losses define who you are. Tune in each week for Good Grief with host Cheryl Jones. Our show features those who have made incredible transformations by grieving their losses. You'll learn how to find your courage and strength. You'll discover the important things in your life and how to let go of things that are less important. Good Grief airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Abre mi corazón.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. William Walsh, the author of the very important book, Nutrient Power. And we've been talking about how to help people who with a variety of mental health disorders and other medical conditions. And before the break, we've just begun to talk about overmethylation. In my experience, and I work generally with patients who are extremely ill with Lyme disease, co-infections, mold toxicity, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, the vast majority of my patients have been undermethylated, and that has been my area of focus. But it was when I read your book, Dr. Walsh, that I really began to understand what overmethylation was and realized that I realized I'd been missing that. So let's talk about that for a bit to help our listeners understand that piece of the puzzle.
Well, all right. There are, you mentioned some of the conditions that are predominantly undermethylated based, and there are a few others. For example, autism, roughly 99% of autistics, people who have classic autism, are undermethylated. They're all undermethylated. Probably 95% of people with obsessive compulsive disorder are undermethylated. But then there are people who have the opposite condition. And so nutritionists and doctors and researchers have spent a lot of time lately focusing on undermethylation and doing genetic tests and other kinds of profiles to identify undermethylation. And however, that one carbon or that methylation cycle that they're all focusing on, looking for maybe genetic mutation SNPs, that's only half of the story. The question is, what happens to the SAMe, the methyl donor that this whole cycle is producing? And there are a number of mutations that can inhibit the SAMe to do its job. There are more than 80 really important biochemical reactions involving methylation. Methylation is extraordinarily important for both physical and mental health. But roughly half of all of your SAMe, all of your methyl, is used for a single reaction, and that's the production of creatine. And there are SNPs in that process. In other words, that can be an impaired, weakened transition. So it turns out that quite a few people, have a glut of methyl. They have too much methyl. And, of course, we call them overmethylated or hypermethylated. And we now know how to treat that effectively. And so that one has to be alert for that and not just be totally focused or hypnotized by the concept of undermethylation.
Now, again, you would measure that glut by a whole blood histamine, in which case the histamine level would be low, because
yes,
the histamine
or
would be...
Exactly. Or alternatively, looking at the SAMe-SAH ratio, if that ratio is extremely high, you would get the same result.
So we now have a way of looking at that and measuring it and following that. And then, as you describe, we treat these people differently. They don't respond in the same way as others. For example, in my experience with people who are undermethylators, you can give them folate, you can give them 5-methyl tetrahydrofolate, you can give them, basically any form of folic acid you want, and most of them will get better.
But that's exactly right, but there's an exception to that. And the exception is something we just learned 5 or 6 years ago. And the exception is that if you've got a patient who's undermethylated and they happen to have depression related to low serotonin activity, if you give them folate, their methylation will improve. The patient will get worse. And the reason is because of an epigenetic mechanism. Folate has a dramatic, powerful effect on epigenetics, in other words, on gene regulation. And especially, it has folate tends to cause causes serotonin reuptake promotion, the exact opposite you want. So actually, folate has a powerful epigenetic mechanism that for depressed, low serotonin people, you don't dare give them any of these folate forms, even if they're undermethylated. So that's the exception to the rule. On the other hand, if you've got any of these other patients, like the Lyme patients or an autistic person or many others, most undermethylated people thrive on folates. You just it's contraindicated for people with low serotonin activity, neurotransmission.
Right. So if you have an overmethylated patient, how would you approach them?
Well, the whole goal for them is to change the epigenetics. And now we know how to do that. As I mentioned earlier, it's something we didn't have this capability in the past. And so the way we would do that, if they're overmethylated, we want to change what happens at the chromatin level. We want to change the methylfolate ratio at the chromatin level, which is DNA plus these things called histones, these histone proteins. And what's really amazing is that folate and methyl have opposite effects on chromatin. And for the overmethylated people, interestingly enough, you give them a lot of folates. They thrive on all forms of folate, and not because of methylation, but because of its dramatic effect on reuptake. And as reuptake dominates brain function in terms of depression and anxiety and bipolar, its reuptake process is maybe 95%, whereas the amount of the serotonin in the brain is only about 5%. That's something that is just recently been really understood. And so what we do with our nutrient therapy is tinker with, or you might say adjust or regulate the reuptake, the speed with which the serotonin, once it's sprayed into the synapse, the speed with which it tends to go right back to the original cell.
Right.
And there's a tendency for that to happen very quickly. And that's how SSRIs work. The drugs, they work by blocking that process. But we can also do the same thing with nutrients.
Now, do you think that the form, I know people argue about this, do you think that the form of folic acid taken matters?
It matters in certain cases. For example, if a person has this well-known 677T homozygous SNP and at the same time has really high homocysteine levels, that's a common blood analysis, those people would thrive better if they had methyl B12 and if they had what's known as methylfolate. However, it's not as potent as everybody believes. Methylfolate is what I call a suicidal nutrient. These methylation cycles are constantly spinning and spinning. It's almost like the Indianapolis Speedway with these cars zooming around. And once the methylfolate goes through the reaction, once it becomes garden variety THF, and it becomes part of the problem. So it's a little bit better, but not nearly as profound as people believe.
Okay, so we have... for the people with the C677 and an increased homocysteine, it works better for them. Are there other examples that you can think of where the form of either the B12 or the folate makes a difference?
Well, I think anyone with a really high homocysteine level would benefit from that. I mean, that's a cardiovascular risk and could cause other problems. So if you've got if your methylation cycle is blocked and you're building up an excess of this chemical called homocysteine, I think they would do nicely on these chemicals, on these nutrients, provided that, although you might have to avoid folate in some cases, the people who might have low serotonin depression.
Right. Do you make that distinction on clinical basis, meaning when you give it and how the person responds, that kind of tells you what direction to go in, or are there some testing that helps you with that?
Well, actually, I tell people that we have an unfair advantage and we cheat. The reason we cheat is I've worked with 3,600 cases of depression. And I've measured the methylation for all of them. And for me, I was really puzzled and bothered for at least 15 years, knowing that under-methylated, depressed people got worse on folic acid, and they got worse on methylfolate, and they got worse on folinic acid. And that was a big mystery that bothered me for 15 years. And finally, with the emerging science and the knowledge of epigenetics, now it becomes crystal clear, and we understand why. I now sleep better at night.
One mystery solved.
But I knew the right answer from working with so many patients. I knew what would benefit them and what wouldn't. Another advantage with methylation is that people who are under-methylated have classic symptoms and traits that are different from the over-methylated people. We can now do a medical history, and after talking to somebody for 30 minutes and learning about their medical history, we are about 95% accurate at predicting their blood results for methylation. And so it's a combination of the lab work and the knowledge of the patient that allows us to do a correct diagnosis.
Okay. So again, we're seeing real breakthroughs in our ability to understand and work with this and treat these materials. And I think that this is very exciting. I think that if it could catch on, it would really usher in a new era of psychiatry where we'd be using much less medication and focused much more on understanding the chemistry.
Yes, and we've been talking a lot about about depression this afternoon, but I'd like to point out that we've done even more work with behavior disorders and violent children and violent adults and attention deficit disorder. We've used this therapy on more than 6,000 children and adults with ADHD, and this approach works really well for them. And bipolar disorder, schizophrenia. And we now have a therapy for Alzheimer's disease that is very promising, although still unproven. So it's not just depression. All kinds of mental functioning. If you've got a serious problem, I think a person should find out what their biochemistry is and go to someone who's capable, an experienced practitioner who can normalize their chemistry.
I completely agree. And I'd like to come back and explore that in more detail. First, I'd like to mention yet another of our really wonderful sponsors. I'd like to talk about the BioResource Company located here in Northern California. They've been working with German homeopathic remedies for 16, 17 years now, and they carry a very extensive line of those remedies, which can do a wide variety of important things. So again, from the subject that we're discussing now, I'd like to mention three of their particular remedies, all of which are present in what they call their Stress Buster Kit. And they include NeuRegen, NeuRegen, which treats mental, emotional, and physical exhaustion, people who we call wired and tired. Also, PsyStabil, PsyStabil, which helps to reduce anxiety and stress. And Dalectro, Dalektro, which helps fight fatigue. So BioResource at BioResourceInc.com, or you can call them at 800-203-3775. And with that, we'll go to another break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Biohacking for Health is working with your individual biology to gain access to and control over the systems within your body. It allows you to explore your biology and improve health and wellness. Each of us has unique genetic profiles and physiology that require individualized approaches. On Biohacking for Optimal Health, Dr. Daniel Stickler and his expert guests provide a roadmap to navigate the world of biohacking human potential. Tune in every Thursday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan. Again, if you have questions, you can call us at 866-472-5792. If you've just joined us, we've been talking with Dr. William Walsh, who is the author of the very important book, Nutrient Power, which I encourage you all to read. And Dr. Walsh, there are other resources that you have where our listeners can learn much more about what we've been talking about.
Yes, we have a website. It's walshinstitute.org. Our organization is the Walsh Research Institute, and we're a 501c3 public charity. And you can find a lot of information on there. One can also, if they would like, purchase the book from there. You can also get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but if you buy it from our website, it'll go to our charity and enable us to, have more resources for our mission. We also do physician training programs. I'm looking forward to going to Southern California. In January, our next USA training program for USA doctors will be there. And so those are some of the resources we have. But I think our website has a lot of information, and it can also direct you to other parts of the Internet that can guide people.
Great. Now, before we went to the break, you began talking about other mental conditions and other illnesses that we want to look at through these same biochemical eyes, if you will. So let's expand on that a bit. I know there are way too many people suffering with things like bipolar disorder and schizophrenia who are really struggling with conventional medical drugs and treatments and the side effects of those.
Yeah, and those are two of the tough ones. I make a distinction between the disorders that are epigenetic in nature, those that become that appear rather suddenly, like post-traumatic stress disorder, bipolar, and schizophrenia, and also autism. Those are very difficult to treat in any fashion, whether with conventional medicine or even with nutrients. And yes, we can help these people, but then there's the people that are easy to help. People with depression, anxiety disorders, violent children, they're probably the easiest people of all to help, no matter how horrible their behavior. If you could get them before the age of 12, we published a paper that showed that our success rate for kids who took our treatment was a little bit better than 90% in terms of reduced violent episodes and destruction of property. And ADHD, there's 8.5% of all American children have attention deficit disorder. And that's something where I don't think the first thing you should do is give them a drug. I think that should be a last resort, because in so many cases you can find that they have nutrient imbalances that are responsible and can be corrected without drugs.
Well, when you see people like children who are out of control and seemingly violent, what are the kind of imbalances that you find most commonly in them?
Interestingly, 68% of them have a metal metabolism problem, and usually involving elevated copper and very deficient zinc. Zinc deficiency is the most common thing we see in violent children, and I really think if a person just normalized a child's zinc level, probably two-thirds of all violent kids would become a lot better. And pyral disorder is in severe cases, if you have a severely violent child. We've had hundreds of patients where the family said they were violent and attacked people 10 times a day on the average. I mean, there's just extraordinary cases out there. And in those cases, it usually involves pyrrole disorder. If they had oppositional defiant disorder or really strong will, that's almost always under methylation. So it all depends on the type of the behavior or the type of the illness.
Right, and that's what I wanted to bring out a little bit, which is that the different forms that we see do have a propensity to a different biochemical nature, which needs to be looked at separately and evaluated and then treated.
Yes, biochemical individuality is the name of the game, and it's really what people need to do is to find out who they are biochemically, and then fix their chemistry and make it as normal and healthy as intended.
And again, I want to emphasize it's really easy to measure copper and zinc levels. That's not hard at all. It is
very reliable, and throughout the world, most labs can do that very reliably and accurately.
Right. It's easy to measure cryptopyrroles. It's a simple urine test.
It's a simple urine test, although it has to be frozen right after the urine sample is taken, mm-hmm. and it has to get to the lab frozen. But it is. It's done routinely.
Right. And it's been a part of our issues. We have found that there's a very high incidence of seeing pyrrole imbalances in patients with chronic illness. We see it in our Lyme patients and with our mold toxicity and our fibromyalgia in a much higher incidence than you might generally find. And we had talked during the break that you would expect that in someone who had had an oxidative illness or an illness where the
exactly. You can either have an inborn pyrrole disorder you inherit from your parents, or it can develop with any condition like Lyme disease that can increase oxidative stress. Pyrrole disorder is my favorite imbalance, and the reason is people that have it often suffer greatly, and yet it's the fastest imbalance to correct. If, for example, a violent child who may have been violent for 6 years, I've had case after case of parents saying once they started giving them the B6 and the zinc and the other nutrients to correct that imbalance, that they got better within a week.
Right. And that's been our experience as well. And so I know that you have oodles more information to communicate, but we've kind of run out of time, Dr. Walsh. I thank you so much for joining us today and sharing with us the kind of work you've done and the information that you have acquired. I'd like to mention that next week we'll have Norman Suhu, who is an expert on electromagnetic energies and how to work with that, something we haven't done very much on this program. So join us next week. Thank you all for joining us, and be well.
Thank you again for joining us for The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please join Dr. Neil Nathan again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And this week, apply what you've learned today to enjoy better health.